The word says that you shall know the truth, and the truth, knowing that truth, is going to set you free. That's one of the main things that we're going to receive today, is truth about Freemasonry. And we're going to understand the roots that are there that are false. And in understanding that, then we can enter into freedom. The Lord told me when we decided to do this meeting that this was going to be a destiny-altering meeting for this region, and that it was going to be a meeting that is going to set the stage for leaders in this region to enter into their true identity and true purpose. So what we're going to do today is very, very powerful. We heard from Sandy, and she was praying about the meeting, and she said that this meeting is going to affect this region. So we're glad that you can be a part of it. We're glad for all that we're going to learn, but know that it's not what's happening here today is going to affect us personally and affect our bloodlines, but it's also going to have a great effect in the region. So we just thank God for that, that that's going to happen. So let's all stand. Father, we are so grateful for this privilege of being here today. We are so thankful for all that you're going to impart to us today and what you're going to actually do, not only in our own lives and those of our family, but God, you are doing a mighty work in the territory, and we are so grateful, and we want to thank you ahead of time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over any interference. I take authority over any demonic spirits that would try to sabotage this meeting in any way in Jesus' name. I bind their activities, forbid them from operating in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just loose the power of the Holy Spirit of truth who leads us into all truth and teaches us all things. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for imparting your truth to us in order that we might be free and this region can turn, expand in the kingdom of God. So we loose this meeting unto you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Do what you want to do. We yield to you, and we yield to your truth. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Worship was good because this ministry is all about 1 John 4. Perfect love casts out all fear. Without Father's love, we can't stand against the forces of darkness, which are all predicated by fear. His love always overcomes fear. When I was talking with Flora when she came in this morning, she was telling me how she had really planned to have these four stepping stones to freedom meetings start in the spring, and the Lord told her no, they had to start last fall. And I've been corresponding with Jane Hammond, who's in Korea right now, this past week, and we've been comparing notes on what this year is all about and different aspects of it, and you're going to hear some importance of some of the things that I've been sharing with her in this teaching in a little bit. But I shared with her what this year is all about, and you know, many of us have been teaching on the year 5776, which started last fall at Rosh Hashanah. It happens to be a Jubilee year. And whether you believe that the Jubilee year started at Rosh Hashanah or whether it started at Yom Kippur, it started last fall. This happens to be the 70th Jubilee year since Joshua entered the Promised Land. It happens to be the 40th Jubilee year since Jesus walked the earth. So those are two significant numbers when you look in terms of what we're doing today. The terms of deliverance, the terms of freedom, the terms of completion. 70 is the number of empowerment and release. 70 disciples were sent out by Jesus. 70 of the elders were called in by Moses to get some of his anointing to go and minister. You are all gaining things to be able to be released. But this year is the year 5776, which is the year of El Olam. That is an Ayin Vav word. This is the year of Ayin Vav. So the name of God for this year is Olam. It means concealed It means everlasting. It means eternal. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree and called upon the name of the eternal God. Dutch Sheets has been talking about the appeal to heaven. This is a year in which the things that have been concealed in the past get revealed so that we know how to walk correctly into the future. The things that we're going to talk about today are things that have been concealed from the body of Christ for far too long. So what we're going to do today is a little bit different than what most people might think of. They're going to get a teaching on Freemasonry. You're going to see some stuff, but I want to expose the roots of it so that no matter how we whitewash it, no matter how pretty we make it look, you will understand that it is satanic worship at its roots. So what we're going to do is we're going to do some teaching. We're going to expose some things, and then before we leave today, we will read through renunciation of some of the Freemason prayers, as many of them as we can get through. I want to start by asking how many of you were ever a part of Freemasonry, Eastern Star, or any of those affiliated things, DeMolay for boys and Rainbow Girls for girls? That's a good start. Oh, okay, so how many of you had relatives that were involved? Okay, these are bloodline issues. And as we talked about in some of the Stepping Stones to Freedom things, generational issues have to be dealt with. So, Rick, if you can bring up the PowerPoint slide. So we're going to look at a lot of symbolism today. And where will I be in the least way? Am I in anybody's way right here? Having me stand still is a miracle. This is the all-seeing eye of Horus. It's one of the witchcraft divination signs that's illuminated with, associated with the Illuminati, with Freemasonry, and with many satanic cults. What we don't know can hurt us. In other words, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a setup for a fall. How many of you have a dollar bill with you? Pull it out and look at it. We're going to look at them in a minute. Do you see the all-seeing eye of Horus there? What does that mean to you? What does that mean because it's on your money? It's only on the $1 bill. It's only on the basic unit of our currency. All currencies, all monetary systems in the earth are defiled. That's neither good nor bad. Because God gave us a redemption for that. It's called the tithe. You know, when you honor him with one-tenth, he blesses everything else that you've got. So just because it's on your currency doesn't mean you have to be fretful. It means you have to be obedient to honor him. Because when you honor him, according to Malachi, you set yourself up for blessings. How many of you want to be blessed? So no matter what the enemy whispers about you, you can say, but God. I want to start by reading, I think I put this in your handout, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 from the Amplified Bible. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them inconsistent with your faith. This whole year of 5776 is about our alignments and our connections, or in other words, our alignments and alliances. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Baal, the devil? Or what has the believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So come out from among unbelievers and sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and do not touch any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, we're not to admix with the things that have tainted the world. When Israel first came out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, the Lord said, if you will honor and obey me, I won't put any of the diseases that are on Egypt on you. Prophetically, that's any of the things that I've given to afflict the world so they might turn their hearts to me, I won't put on you if you obey me. I like that promise. So we're not to be admixed. And what we have done over the course of history, as you'll see throughout the morning, is we have allowed admixture to come into the body of Christ. I've given you a reference sheet so you don't have to write down the names of these books that I'm going to tell you about. They're in the back of your handout. Morals and Dogma is written by Albert Pike. Albert Pike was one of the chief Freemasons in our country, and he was an extreme occultist. Pike's Peak is named after him and his family. So one of the tallest mountains in North America is named after Pike's Peak. In Morals and Dogma, Pike wrote, the sun was male and the moon was female, and Isis was the sister and the wife of Osiris. The compass, therefore, is the hermetic symbol of the creative deity, and the square, the productive earth or universe. All of these are symbols of Freemasonry, the compass and the square. So we're not going to get into a whole lot of that, but in their own writings, they begin to talk about what are the roots, and we're going to look at their writings today and see what the foundation of Freemasonry comes from. I'm going to allude to a lot of things about our country. So how many of you know anything about the state of Colorado? How many of you been to Colorado? It's a pretty state. Lots of lovely mountains. It's sort of shaped like a square. You know why it's shaped like a square? You're about to find out. The shape of Colorado being a square has everything to do with Freemasonry. When Washington, D.C. was laid out, they put it on the 77th meridian. So if you look at the latitudes and longitudes of all of our cities, you'll see that Washington, D.C. was placed on the 77th meridian. If you look at a map of Washington, D.C. and a lot of the other major cities on the East Coast, they are also on that 77th meridian. Boston, Philadelphia, the big cities. In Washington, D.C., they call that 77th meridian the Washington Meridian. They make it zero. They call it the new meridian. So Washington Meridian becomes zero in the Handbook of Masonry. If you go west 25 degrees from the Washington Meridian, you come to the eastern border of the state of Colorado. If you go another few miles west to the 32nd meridian, you come to the western border of Colorado. There is a 32nd degree symbol at the four corner areas of the state of Colorado. They have buried the 32nd degree Freemason symbol there. We're going to talk about all that. It doesn't add up to the latitude and the longitude of the world maps, but when you put everything back to zero, see how they're putting everything on a new standard? Who is the standard, by the way? Jesus. Okay? Has nothing to do with latitude and longitude, but you've got to have Jesus as your foundation. Not only is the state shaped like a square, which is a symbol of Freemasonry, but the 25th and the 32nd degrees were based on degrees of Freemasonry. We're going to talk about one of them later. The 25th degree is the Knight of the Brazen Serpent, and the 32nd degree is the one where you become illuminated to be a deity yourself. We're going to tie a whole bunch of stuff into this today. Everything about the founding of Colorado has Masonic influence. Colorado was called the crown jewel of Freemasonry. The Colorado state symbol is the only one in the United States that has the all-seeing eye of Horus, a Masonic symbol, in its state seal. The ancient root of Freemasonry lies in Egypt. So we're going to do a lot of time travel back to Egypt today. Because everything about Freemasonry is about Isis and Osiris. Ancient Egyptian sun worship. That's the bottom line of where we're going today. And it's going to get pretty ugly. As a warning, this will be graphic and it will be sexual in its nature, because that's what this is all about. I will try to make it lighter if I can. So let's look at the ancient mystery religion of Freemasonry. Everything stemmed from the Tower of Babel, with Nimrod and a group of elites that were trying to establish a world order. They were trying to vav, they were trying to connect heaven to earth without God. Right? That's what they were doing. Let us build. If God had said, I want you to build, that would be connecting to heaven to earth, vavving heaven to earth by God's plan. Nimrod and his elites were trying to do something without God. That's never good. When the worship that they had spread abroad into Egypt, you had Baal, the sun god, and you had the queen of heaven, usually in the form of a moon goddess. Most ancient religions will look at Baal as the sun and the queen of heaven as the moon. And most of them get back to that. Many, quote, modern Eastern religions are nothing more than ancient Egyptian sun worship with a new spin. They've been rebranded. So we're going to expose some of that today, too. In ancient Egypt, you had Ra, R-A, I don't know if I put that on you. He was the favorite sun gods of the Egyptians. So we're going to try and do history quickly. When the pharaoh died, they believed they would become Ra or Osiris. So when a man died, they believed that they became the god. And so that's why they worshipped their firstborn. There is no explanation as to why they did this. You can't explain the occult. You can't explain no God worshipers and why they choose to worship what they worship. I'm not going to get there, I don't think, but Islam is tied into this. Of the over 300 gods that Muhammad worshipped, he chose Allah, the moon god, to worship. He made, of all of the gods that he worshipped, and by the way, Abram came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and his father and his grandfather were idol makers. So you see how the Lord has delivered us from this and set us on a path that I believe this year, as Flora said, is a key year for our region to get free from this. Idol worship never makes sense. Why would I bow down to that bottle of water that I just drank to refresh myself and call it God? Why would I worship that tree that I just threw into my fireplace to keep warm and cook my meal and call it God? Maybe I'm too logical, but I can't explain it. Ra was the favored sun god, but he was losing his popularity with the Egyptians. So they decided that since Osiris was Ra's oldest son, they would start focusing on Osiris. So we're doing a lot of history quickly. How they worshiped and what they believed was that Ra was the daddy god. Do you see the counterfeit starting? There's the father, Osiris is the son. You see the counterfeit? Every religion in the earth is a counterfeit of truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, and he is the life. So, Osiris is the oldest son. Isis is his sister. Some of you have already started to get where we're going. Nephthys is the other sister. And Set is the evil brother. Sounds like a serial on TV, doesn't it? I wonder where they get their scripts from. There's nothing new under the sun, by the way. These are demon gods and goddesses. All of them. Which is what the people literally believed and worshipped in the ancient mystery religions. There's no explanation. The brothers and the sisters married each other. These god brothers and sisters married each other. Osiris and Isis fall in love and get married. Let me tell you that incest is okay in Freemasonry. They will deny it, but it's in their roots. Nephthys and Set fall in love and get married. Their whole religion is full of incest. So it shouldn't surprise us when Joseph is taken captive and Potiphar's wife, Potiphera, decides to try and seduce him. Because anything goes in their religion. Osiris is the favored son. And he's the one positioned to become king and the sun god in place of his father Ra. So I have to see. Let me back up here and just show you some things of the all-seeing eye so I can get to where we're going. This is a Freemasonry symbol. You can see the checkered squares. You can see the all-seeing eye of Horus over it. We talked about the compass and the square. You can get all kinds of things online if you want to Google it. But when you're done, pray cleansing over yourself. Because you will get defiled by some of the things that come up. And as I said, the Lord has already provided a way for any culture, any monetary system to be reconciled to Him through honoring Him with a portion of it. I think I'm going to get to that part, and maybe not. Well, let's just go on from here now. How did that get up there? That's not even in my PowerPoint. That's a video I'm going to show you in a little bit. When you look at the back of your dollar, you'll see Anuit Kynkoptis, which means he winks at your enterprise. And on the bottom, you see Novus Ordo Seclorum. It means the new order of the ages. From the foundation of our currency system, which was founded by an ex-New Yorker, Alexander Hamilton. He was the first Secretary of the Treasury. From the foundation of our system, it was dedicated to a new world order. But God. But God. So, let's get back to our story. Ra's getting ready to pass over the kingdom to his son Osiris. So they believe that for Osiris to be a good king to Egypt, he should go out across all the land and visit all the people. Sound familiar? Do you remember the Hebrew month of Elul is all about the king being in the field and being available to all of the people without fanfare? So Osiris goes out across the land and he starts meeting all the people and he sees how the agriculture is doing. Now remember, these are agrarian societies and their wealth is based upon what the land produces. So Osiris, who wants to be a good leader, starts going out and meeting the people and seeing what's going on. But while he's gone, Set gets jealous. Because he wants to be the favored son in place of his brother, and he wants to get the throne. So while Osiris is gone, Set decides to seduce his sister Isis, who's already married to Osiris. So now we got adultery in there. And I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of things of Freemasonry, but when you become a Freemason, let me just tell you, they do it by boiling the frog. You don't get everything we're going to show you later all at once. You don't get all of the first order and the first pledge and the first rites. You get little bit and a little bit and a little bit, but you take off your wedding ring and you renounce your covenant. That's at the early orders. We'll talk about the later ones, because in the later ones you renounce your covenant with Jesus Christ or whatever God you serve, because they're an equal opportunity cult. You can put your hand on the Quran, you can put your hand on the Bible. Whatever you're going to say is lower than Lucifer is what you're going to commit to. So now adultery is okay because they're no God, Set, has now had an adulterous relationship with Isis. He figures that if he can get Isis pregnant, they can have a son, and therefore his son will be king when Osiris dies, and he will have an heir to the throne. So Set and Isis have a sexual relationship, and no one knows why Isis submitted to this. Again, there's no logic in these ancient mystery religions. But Isis did not get pregnant. So now Set has to design a completely new plot to take out Osiris. So stay tuned next week, because this will be continued. Doesn't it sound like something on television? In ancient Egypt, they literally planned their entire life for their death. Everything they did led up to how they were going to be buried. The pharaohs did it, and the entire royal palace did it, and every citizen would do it to the extent that they had affluence. They believed that the more wealth you could take with you into death and into the afterlife with you, the more power you would receive in your next life, and you would become more godlike. So Set realizes that his scheme to impregnate Isis will not work, so he devises an evil plot to kill Osiris. Since they plan their whole life for death, Set says, let's build Osiris a sarcophagus. This is a sarcophagus. It's basically a coffin. You've seen these before, right? The exact measurements will be to Osiris's body. How they got those measurements, I don't know, but they built one that fit. Do you read the story of Cinderella? How many people fit the slipper? Only one person fit the sarcophagus. They literally had a party. Oh, by the way, the sarcophagus they built was built of acacia wood. Do you know what was built of acacia wood? The Ark of the Covenant. Do you see the counterfeits? They overlaid it with pure gold. Sounds just like the Ark, doesn't it? They threw a big party. Oh, let's try on the sarcophagus. It didn't fit anyone except Osiris. Finally, Osiris gets in, it fits, and Set and his evil followers slam the lid, shut it, and seal it so it can't get opened. And then they put Osiris out on the Nile River, where he's buried alive and dies inside the sarcophagus. Doesn't sound like a very powerful god, does he? Gets put in a box and suffocates. This is who they're worshiping, by the way. I mean, I'm trying to expose what's underneath Freemasonry. So he floats to ancient Bilbos, which is now what we would call Lebanon. The sarcophagus with Osiris's body in it lands on the banks of the Nile at ancient Biblos, and a huge, beautiful acacia tree supernaturally starts to grow out of the sarcophagus. You can see the ungodly prophetic picture they're trying to portray. The king of Biblos comes and sees it and says it's so beautiful that he takes it out of the Nile and places it in his temple, and he begins to worship the sarcophagus. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Isis is distraught. She doesn't know where Osiris is. She knew he'd been buried alive somewhere, but they didn't know where they put him. So she figures that she has to go save him. So Osiris and her sister Nephthys set out across the land of Egypt trying to find the sarcophagus with Osiris in it. And somehow, mysteriously, they come across the temple of the king of Biblos. How they found it, none of the literature says. It just says they came across it. They walk in and they see the sarcophagus, and Isis goes to the king and says, "My dead husband is in there. You can't worship him and you can't have him. Please give him back to me." She must have really pleaded, because the king says, "You can have the sarcophagus." So Isis now has the sarcophagus. So Isis and Nephthys, her sister, with dead Osiris in the sarcophagus, start their journey back to Egypt. It's nighttime and they get tired. They go into a cave. Where the cave come from, I don't know. We have no idea where Nephthys went, but in the story, maybe she went to the bathroom because she needed a commercial break for all the stuff that was happening. We don't know what happened. But the story just says Nephthys went away someplace, and now it's Isis with her husband in the cave. So she goes to the sarcophagus. Isis is the moon goddess. She's the queen of heaven. So when people talk about the queen of heaven, they're talking about Sybil. It's not Mary worship, by the way. Mary was the mother of Jesus, but they're really talking about a goddess named Sybil or Diana or Artemis or Isis, the queen of heaven. So know that when you're talking with your Catholic friends, it's not about Mary. It's about the thing that's trying to replace Jesus. The Queen of Heaven is the one in their belief system that has the power to give life, not Osiris. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't, but the Queen of Heaven does. This is their belief system. So Isis takes the ancient symbol of life, the Ankh. This is not a cross. It never was a cross. It never will be a cross. If people try to tell you that the Ankh is a cross, they are deceived, or they are flat out lying. This is the ancient symbol of life that has nothing to do with the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a demonic symbol that's attached to the mystery religions all the way back to ancient Egypt. You see it all over in their hieroglyphics. You see it all over the pyramids and all over all of their ancient structures. It's the symbol of divination, and in the divination codes, it means resurrection life. It's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. So Isis takes the Ankh. Here's some more pictures of what an Ankh may look like. It's fancy art now, and a lot of cults use them now. And I look carefully to make sure there are none in my possession. See this bottom picture? That's a picture of Isis with the Ankh. She leans over Osiris, his dead body. With the Ankh, she goes whoosh, and breathes life into poor old dead Osiris. sort of sounds like a piece of clay crafted and molded by the hand of God into a man, and he breathed life into us. You see the counterfeit? Isis breathed her breath of life through the Ankh into Osiris. Then Osiris wakes up, and he's resurrected. Osiris and Isis are thrilled, and they have sexual relations in which she now becomes pregnant with Osiris's son, Horus. Oh, that's the all-seeing eye of Horus on our dollar. See how it ties in? But they, you know, ladies, you know that you don't know for a while that you're pregnant. And so Osiris and Isis didn't know at that moment that they were pregnant. But Osiris is exhausted now. I mean, he's just come back from the dead, and he's had a sexual relation with his wife, and he's just beat. And for some reason now, Isis leaves the cave. They don't tell us why, they just say Isis left the cave. And Osiris now falls into a very deep sleep. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Set's trying to figure out what he can do to get the throne. He's learned that Isis and Nephthys have left to try and find Osiris. So he sets off on a journey to try and find Osiris and Isis before they can return to Egypt and stop Set from succeeding in his plot to take the throne. Mysteriously, Set comes across the cave with no one in it but the sleeping Osiris. It must have happened during the commercial. Since Isis and Nephthys are not there, Set decides that he will be sure to kill Osiris this time, and he takes a large knife and chops Osiris into 14 body parts. Now, it's interesting that in Scripture, 14 is always the number of deliverance. It was on the 14th day that Passover took place. But he just happened to cut him into 14 body parts. Now, when you go through the initiations of Freemasonry, like in the first level, they will have the tracing boards that we looked at and the figures that depict all the symbolisms that we're discussing today. There is not a single demon god or goddess in any religion that does not tie back to what we're talking about today. When we were, this is part of the things I was communicating with Jane Hammond on, when we were in Singapore a few years ago training a core set of intercessors to prepare the nation for their jubilee, which took place the year before last, doing the spiritual mapping, we discovered that all ancient dragon worship is tied back to, and you'll see where in a few minutes, tied back to Freemasonry. You'll see that Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, witchcraft, Wicca, paganism, Satanism are all tied to Freemasonry. If you start doing the research, you will find all of these streams come back to this ancient Egyptian sun worship of Isis and Osiris. There ain't nothing new under the sun, pardon my French. When a person goes through the first initiation, there are 14 rungs on the ladder of Freemasonry. They represent the 14 parts of Osiris that were scattered. 14 is the symbol of the price that Osiris paid by getting cut up into 14 body parts. They say on the tracing board, as you're going up the degrees of Freemasonry, that you are going up the rungs of the ladder to higher levels of spiritual enlightenment. And this ties to some information about the Freemason initiation rites back to the ancient beliefs. And we're going to go through those. We won't go into all the details on each one, but we're going to go through those later to break them off of our bloodline. So let's get back to ancient history. Set takes the 14 body parts and scatters them across the land of Egypt except for his male organ, his manhood. Each place where one of Osiris's body parts went today, there is a temple that was built on the site dedicated to Osiris with an obelisk on it. This is the depiction of Isis blowing through the Ankh onto Osiris and reviving him to life. This is the ancient engraving of it. This is an obelisk. Have you seen any of these anywhere? This is a Freemason symbol. Every place where there's a city where one of those body parts of Osiris went, they erected an obelisk. Here's the most famous obelisk in the world. Know what that is? Washington Monument. Yes, it is an obelisk. We'll get a clearer picture of that later. No. Well, let me take that back. When the Masons dedicate something, how many of you know what ley lines are? Okay, some of you. So that's not for this time, but I'm going to pick on the Erie Canal. When the Erie Canal was dedicated, the Masons got a barge loaded with water, barrels of water from the Nile, to dedicate this back to Osiris. At every place where there is a Masonic temple or a Masonic lodge, every one of the port towns usually has one. Spencerport has one. Can tell you lots of stories. Brockport, Fairport. When they build those, they bury Masonic artifacts in three places to set up a ley line which draws their power from the demonic. Okay? Not going to go into the details. We can really go down that. We've done lots of stuff in the area. Some of you have been part of the teams for doing land cleansings and whatnot. That, in ancient Egyptian worship, is a phallic symbol for the male sex organ. Anytime you see that, that is what that is declaring to the earth that it stands on and the portal into the second heaven. Only you and I, worshiping God, can create a portal that goes from the core of the earth to the third heaven, the throne room of God. And that's why we need to worship and we need to war, because we got to undo this stuff, because Jesus said he'll come back when we do. That's a whole other topic. So Set took Osiris's male organ and he threw it into the Nile River, where it was eaten by a crocodile. And this is bizarre stuff that they worship. So now Isis and Nephthys are done with their powder break and they return to the cave. But there's no Osiris. Doesn't even say if they found any blood. So Osiris and Nephthys go across the land of Egypt again and they collect all of the 14 body parts minus one. And they put Osiris together like a jigsaw puzzle. All the king's horses and all the king's men. Do you know where our rhymes come from? Now, his wife is a little upset that he's missing a key piece. So Isis fashions a male organ out of dirt, but it won't function. But at least her husband looks normal. I'm trying to make it funny. Isis, their god, has now lost the power to procreate. Do you see what an impotent religion all of this is? Pun intended. Isis put the male organ where it's supposed to be, and now she takes the Ankh once again and leans over Osiris and breathes the breath of life into Osiris again, and all these dead parts come back to life. He supernaturally is healed and resurrected from the dead. But he can't procreate. However, Isis is already pregnant from an earlier episode with Horus. Many times when you read about Freemasonry, it will get confusing, and you have to follow this through their literature and then get yourself clean. The whole background is grossly perverse. Everything behind Freemasonry is grossly perverse. What they do in their rites and their initiations is illegal and gross and perverse, including drinking blood, including sacrifices. Sometimes people will say that Horus is Osiris reincarnated. That's where your reincarnation religions come from out of this. Why? Because Horus is totally intact and his male organ works. So they say this is the new Osiris. No one wanted Set to be the leader. Osiris is now both the sun god and he is the god of the underworld because he lost his fertility. So in ancient times there was a god and there was a god of the underworld, and now Osiris is the god of both. In order to worship Osiris and give him power, they begin to build the male phallic symbol. And they put gold coverings over it. So they build these obelisks and they put gold coverings over it. So every time the sun hits it during the day, it radiates. Do you remember seeing all these pictures of the mosques and the domes? You even see some branches of Christianity doing the same thing where they got these fancy spires with the golden domes to reflect the light. Well, this is the foundation of it. It is not biblical. But God can redeem us all. They put the gold capstone at the top so that everyone will see that Osiris, their god, is alive. Even on the pyramids of Giza that were built by the Hebrew slaves, they put the gold capstone on the top. Some people say that that is actually meant to be the all-seeing eye of Horus, which is why it looks that way on our dollar bill. During the day, the sun came over the pyramid or the obelisk, and the sun would hit the top of the male phallic symbol, and the light would radiate all over the land of Egypt. And people would say, Osiris is alive, he's back in power again. And it was as though he was having sex with himself. More perversion. So he can procreate when the sun touches the top of his male phallic symbol. This is what they teach. This is what they write about. It's pretty gross. Now remember, Isis is the moon goddess. So what happens at night when the moon hits the top of this thing? The moon comes over the pyramids of Giza, over the obelisk, and the light shines at night. And you know what they say? They say that that is Isis having sex with Osiris. Their gods are mating when the moon hits the top of that. So you have a picture in their religious belief, the foundation of Freemasonry, that Osiris and Isis are having sex and they are procreating the earth. The sun and the moon getting together to illuminate the earth. In the Freemason symbols, you've seen that symbol? It's inside what? A circle. It's their obelisk inside the moon. It's Osiris and Isis having a sexual relationship. It's also symbolized by this, the point of the obelisk being covered by the moon. You can get all of this stuff in the literature and online. When you get down to its basis level, Freemasonry is to worship the male phallic symbol, with the moon goddess as the one who has the ability to give him life. That's the bottom line of this cult. Remember the quote that we read from Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma? The sun was male and the moon was female. This is the highest ranking leader of the day of Freemasonry in North America wrote this. And Isis was the sister of the wife Osiris. The compass, therefore, is the hermeneutic symbol of the creative deity in the square, the productive earth or universe. This is their... Freemasons are into geometry. I'm a scientist. I can understand geometry. I can understand architecture. But you'll see in a minute that they take it to worship of no gods. This is their symbol of the great architect of the universe. We know him as Yahweh. We know him as the Lord God Almighty. They know him as Lucifer. You're going to hear more about that soon. This represents the sexual act between Osiris and Isis. The G in the center, many say, is the Freemasons' worship of geomancy or geometry. For those of you who didn't like math when you were in school, maybe this was the subliminal reason why. This is how Masons lay out cities and how they claim regions.